We began a few weeks ago to talk about how our heart must fully reflect, echo God's heart in an arms wide open invitation. How we must say openly, intentionally, clearly to everyone we encounter on behalf of God Himself, welcome home. We've been talking about how that will be the focus for us over the next several weeks. Looking towards the end of the year, Christmas is not that far away. How many of you have started your Christmas shopping already? Oh, don't shush me. I'm trying to help you here. Think if people were that honest when I was preaching Bible stuff. Shh, don't tell me that. I give you permission just for today to shush me. If I say a biblical point you don't want to hear, just be bold enough to just shh. A little honesty as we go here, all right? So we're looking towards Christmas, ultimately, and simply wanting this to make this the most warm, welcome home Christmas season that JAG Church has ever extended to our friends, to our loved ones, to this community, all right? But one of the things we're asking ourselves, and when we talk about this simple question, what kind of home are we inviting others into? What kind of place is this when we say welcome home? We're trying to take some time to try to describe that, describing both who we are and then also still who we aspire to be, because we've not achieved all of these things by any stretch of the imagination yet. What kind of church? And when I say that, I remind you that the church is not buildings, but bodies. It's not bricks, but people. What kind of representative body of believers are we striving to become? When we're speaking as if we are building a home together, and so we've declared that our blueprint is Scripture, that at JAG Church we value Scripture as God's Word for all people. It provides direction for daily living. It gives us confident hope for the future. We've talked about how our foundation is faith. We value faith as the foundation and the heart of true Christian living. The heart of Christian life is faith, faith, faith. This week, I want to talk just a little bit about the materials from which this house is built. Said last Sunday, if you're going to build a great house, you've got to have a great foundation. We could have easily said the week before that, if you're going to build a great house, you've got to have a great blueprint. And the same is true of the materials we'll use. Maybe you know the story. Do you know this story of a certain Canis Lupus in search of three Sus Scrofa Domesticae? No, I don't have a stroke. I'm not speaking in tongues. Canis Lupus is the technical name for a wolf. And Sus Scrofa Domesticae are little pigs. That's all I'm going to do with it. I just was distracted this week. All right, there it is. Wonder what the Latin is for that, okay? And you know the story of the three little pigs and how the first built his house of straw and the second of wood and the third of brick. And only one of the houses, one of the homes, the one built of the best material, survived the onslaught of that nasty Canis Lupus. Three cheers for three Sus Scrofa Domesticae. Can I hear it? Anima Aquarius or something like that is the Latin for cheer. Just saying. See, it took me a minute. I thought somebody was shushing their kid. Now I get it. Now I get it. Now I know what I invited. Like a blueprint matters. Like a sure foundation matters. What you build with, the materials you use matters. I stepped inside Darlene Bradford's home the other day. She's doing an expansion that involved taking some of the walls down to the studs. And Darlene's house was built maybe very late 1800s, at the latest the early 1900s. And if I understand what's going on here, the studs were oak. Ooh, dude, can you imagine driving a nail into those things after 100 plus years? I mean, that's hard as a rock. How many of you know that house isn't going to go anywhere? I mean, it's already survived that tornado that blew through in 1960, or when was it, 65? 66? The Meriden tornado was 66? I was barely alive then. I'm just a spring chicken. Where am I at? If you're going to build a great house, you got to have a great blueprint. And you got to have a great foundation. But you got to have great materials. At JAG Church, truth is, at any church, at JAG Church, our building material is you. Our building material is you. Let me set this up a little bit. First chapter of the New Testament letter we call 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter writes about how those of us who have trusted Christ have been given new birth into a living hope, birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And because we've experienced this new birth, because the old is gone and the new has come, as Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians, we're called to live that out, right? We're called to live lives of holiness, which is not stuffy self-righteousness, really. Holiness actually has to do with wholeness. It has to do with living lives that match, that align with who we are as the redeemed people of God. And the Apostle Peter spends the first chapter of his letter explaining all that, and then he says, therefore. So this is all tied to what he says. We've been birthed into this living hope, we're called to holiness. Therefore, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Turn to your neighbor and say, you needed to hear that. Grow up in your salvation. Turn to your spouse. Grow up. You, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So we've been given new birth into a living hope, an inheritance in Christ that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So we're going to get rid of all the nasty stuff. We're going to get rid of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And instead, we're going to hunger for, we're going to chase after the best stuff, the purest stuff. We're going to become like newborn babies craving pure spiritual milk. Have you been around a hungry baby lately? Right? I mean, have I ever mentioned from the pulpit here that I'm a grandfather, that I'm a papa? Have I ever mentioned that I have the handsomest, almost 10-year-old grandson ever? Ten-month-old? Well, what did I say? Ten years. At the rate I'm aging, it's all the same. Where am I at? Right? The point was, if you've ever been around that kid when he's hungry, you'll know it. If you've been around a hungry baby, when a baby is hungry, he lets you know it. And we're to be like that with the pure spiritual milk of knowing the Lord, so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. So, repeating yes again, we've been given this living hope that calls us to a life of holiness. So we're putting off the impure, we're chasing after what's most pure, in order that by it we may grow up in our salvation. And here's why we're going to do that. Because, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to Him, who? The living stone, Jesus. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, as you consistently move towards, as you passionately chase after, consistently deepen your intimacy with this living stone, who is the cornerstone for everything we are building, you also, everybody say, he's talking about me. Yeah, everybody didn't say it, but it's pretty close. I'll take it. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Okay, pop quiz. Are you ready? Who are the living stones? Right. Not who are the rolling stones. Who are the living stones? You are. I am. We are. At JAG Church, our blueprint is Scripture. Our foundation is faith. And our building material is you. Built on this cornerstone of Jesus our King, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And there are three things. I know that's not true. There are 100 things I want to say about that this morning, but I'm going to limit it to three, all right? Some of you are already starting your list. Make sure he doesn't go 3.5. First, people matter. people matter. All people. Every person. Not just people you know. Not just people you like. Not just people like you or people who like you. Not just people who think like you, act like you, vote like you, spend like you. None of those qualifiers matter when we make this blanket statement. When it comes to who matters and who doesn't, people matter. All people matter. Here's how we say it at this house we're building. At JAG Church, we value all people as created in the image of God, valued by Christ at the cost of his life, and worthy of love and service. That is a theological statement that is rooted in our blueprint of Scripture. It captures this wonderful reality that unlike any other part of created order, human beings are unique, that across the spectrum of everything God created, we alone are declared to be created in the image of God. It captures our conviction that Jesus did not die for just a select few, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that his will is that all should come to repentance, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever. Whosoever. I don't read any qualifiers there. That's right. You got a friend in me. Right? That child matters, by the way. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. It reflects our awareness that Jesus, who is our example, by the way, did not limit his service to only those whose friendship could benefit him, or only those who held positions of influence or power or prominence in his culture, or only to those who thought and acted like him. Indeed, it is one of the most marvelous revelations of Scripture that Jesus reached passionately for the despised, for the oppressed, for the downtrodden, for the outcast, for the rejected, that he loved them and he served them and he drew them to himself, and so must we. I'm losing you as we go along. I can see that. Some of you might have to change your Facebook attitudes if you really believe this. Because all people, each one created in the image of God, each one valued by Christ at the cost of his life, are worthy of love and service. Rich or poor or middle class. Intelligent or not so intelligent. Young, old, middle-aged, Republican, Democrat, libertarian, unaffiliated, straight, gay, transgendered, abortionist, pro-life crusader, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, legal, illegal, it doesn't matter. People matter. Their lives, their circumstances, their heartaches, their joys, their challenges, their injustices matter. My friend, you will never lock eyes with someone who doesn't matter deeply to God. You can disdain them as you stare at them, but if Jesus were looking through you, he would love them. You'll never give even so much as a casual glance to someone who isn't a human being created in the image of God, valued by Christ at the cost of his life, and worthy of love and service. And that stands on its own. Whether those we love and serve ever come to a saving knowledge of Jesus doesn't change anything I just said. But in the same breath, I say it does matter for this welcome that we extend as the people of God, this welcome we extend as JAG Church. It matters to this home we are building, because it is true that every person ever created was formed to be a living stone, was formed to be part of this spiritual house, one possible translation there, temple of the Holy Spirit, part of this dwelling place for the Holy Spirit himself that God is building. That's God's intent for it. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I wrote myself a note the other day. Just put it on a little yellow sticky note. It's been on my desk ever since. And it's not a mission statement. It's not a formal declaration. It's just the expression of my heart when I think about and pray about this church. But what I wrote down was, I want JAG to be a place where every person knows they matter. Every person has a place. Every person finds a purpose. Every person lives their hope. Every person lives their hope. Because people matter. Yeah, organizations matter. Structure, oh, they do. They do. Yeah, politics matters. I didn't say that to just... Okay, now I got to... Government is an institution ordained by God, and as American citizens in this democratic republic, we do have a responsibility to be engaged in it. But I'm just telling you that people matter more than politics. For the church, for the people of God. It's not that politics don't matter, but people matter more than politics. People matter. People matter. Second, isolated faith. Isolated faith is stunted faith. Jesus is the living stone, Peter says. You also, and the word there is plural. You all, I'd say you-ins, y'all, except we're all dignified here. Y'all, you all together, you all together, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. One, here's a brilliant statement. One brick does not a house make. One stone does not a temple build, right? The simple fact is that building his church, building this spiritual house, this temple of the Holy Spirit formed of living stones, the redeemed, that matters deeply to Jesus, and it takes more than just one living stone to get it done. Sometimes I think we forget how much Jesus loves his church. Jesus committed his very life to the birthing and building of his church. Not a puny church, not a church you can be casual about, not a by-the-by church, but a strong church, a formidable church, an influential church, a victorious church. I'll build my church and the gates of hell themselves will not. They don't stand a chance against my church. If you don't see the church that way, I should stick to my notes, but if you don't see the church that way, I'd encourage you all to bring your vision in alignment with Jesus' vision. It'd be better. You'd do better. It's part of that wholeness, W-H-O-L-E, that wholeness of life where our life aligns fully with His. Here's the deal about that. Here's what I was going to say. Given that we together are being built into a spiritual house, given that we together are being built into a spiritual house, to whatever degree your faith stands in isolation, to whatever degree you are not connected as a living stone, to whatever degree you are not intimately tied into this temple of the Spirit that God Himself is building with Jesus as the cornerstone, your faith is less than it ought to be. Your growth is stunted. If your engagement with His people, your connection to His body, is less than God intends, your growth will be less than He intends. The two are intimately related. Peter challenges us to crave pure spiritual milk so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. And the next thing he talks about is how as living stones we are being built into it. Don't take that living stone out of here. The next thing he talks about is how as living stones, we're being built into a spiritual house. I don't know how you can read those two verses together. I don't know how you can read the priority that Jesus puts on his church and conclude that it really doesn't matter that much whether I've got a vital connection to the body of Christ or not. If you're serious about faith, if you're serious about stepping into life and knowing that life of Christ more abundantly, how in heaven's name can you conclude you'll get there on your own? And I know, suspect anyway, that with that I risk sounding like a pastor trying to beat the drum for faithful attendance, volunteer engagement. Come on, people, we got slots to fill and programs to run, right? That is a chance I am willing to take, not because that's my motivation, but because first, I simply do not know of any great men or women of God. I don't know of any spiritual giants whose lives have not been invested in vital connection with the church as the people of God. Think about it. Name one. Name a person who's made a difference in the world for the sake of Christ, who lived in isolation from his people. And second, and this is just personal testimony, it's just personal. I just know that every good thing that's happened to me, and every good thing that's happened for me in my spiritual development, in terms of my spiritual growth over my lifetime, anything that's ever resulted from my life that will stand for eternity, that will really matter once all is said and done, all of it has resulted from connection with the local body of Christ. All of it has happened as I have been in my place as a living stone among the billions across the globe whom God himself is fitting together as a temple of his Spirit. It's not just for preachers to be a part of this temple of the Holy Spirit. It's for any and all who've come to know the redeeming love of Christ. Any and all who've tasted that the Lord is good. Third observation. Because people matter, because isolated faith is stunted faith, we must invest in each other. We must invest in each other. I'm going to hold that thought with intentions of developing it more fully next week. But what I know is that being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, requires even more than me investing in you, which is the first phrase I thought to say. Because this matters, I'm going to invest in you. You know, because isolated faith is stunted faith, that's why I'm committed to investing in you. But that's not enough. My investment in you is not enough. Yes, as a pastor, as a God-ordained leader for this local expression of the body of Christ, I have a deep responsibility and will answer to God for my investment, for the investment of my whole life into this calling. I think about what Paul writes, the church of Corinth, about his relationship with them. He says to them, your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it. You are our letter. Do you know that I feel that way about you? You're my letter. You're the testimony of my life. This is everything God's called me to do and be, and you're it. You are, everyone can read it, recognize our good work among you. But if we're going to do this right, if our welcome home is going to be a house where every person matters, where every person is growing in faith, where every person who has tasted that the Lord is good is going to find their place as a living stone in this temple of the Spirit God is building, it is going to take more than me investing in you. It is going to demand that we invest in each other. Stand with me, please. Because people matter, you can bet, because people matter, you can bet that isolated faith is stunted faith. We're going to avoid that. We've got to invest in each other. Because we, all of us together, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Let me pray for us. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lord, some of us need to hear your challenge that all people matter, that every person matters. That is really, that's something only you can accomplish by your Holy Spirit. So I am praying that you will. I am praying that you will broaden the love that flows from our hearts. I am praying that you will deepen the commitment to service that flows from our hearts for all people, recognizing that they are formed in the image of God. and valued by you at the cost of your life, and worthy of our love and service for that reason alone. That's all. And that doesn't change. Their formation in the image of God, their value that you placed on them when you gave your life for whosoever, that establishes forever that all people, all humanity, every person is worthy of love and service. Change us. Shape. Let the church be someone different in that regard. Lord, some are isolated in their faith and satisfied with that. I pray in the name of Jesus you would bring a divine dissatisfaction. I pray that there would be a fresh hunger for pure spiritual milk so that we might grow fitly into that place as a living stone in this temple of the Spirit you are building. I pray we'd be hungry. I pray we'd get hungry for that, Jesus. And I pray that you would motivate us by your great grace. You would challenge us. You would spur us to invest in one another. That we would not be satisfied to be a part of this church just because it's a pleasant place to be or just because we like how we're ministered to. But that we would grab hold of what you are doing in this body and how you are moving us forward as your people in ways that we invest in as well. Aware, Jesus, aware that you are building your church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, a church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail, a church of stature, influence, impact. Oh, Savior, lift our vision, lift our eyes so that we might see what you are doing in the people you are forming and how you, your heart is to see Jefferson County and Jackson County and Shawnee County and Northeast Kansas and indeed the globe to fully reflect the glory of your name, because this church has responded to your call, because this body has agreed not to be satisfied with the way things are, but instead to become fully the people of God and invest in one another and connect ourselves to what you're doing, because we know that people matter. Come, Holy Spirit, and work that in our hearts. Work that in our hearts. I pray that so grateful for every person here. I pray that every person here would know they matter to me. I pray that every person here would know they matter to you. I pray that that every person here would be aware there's not a burden they're carrying, not a heartache they're walking through, that you are not present to yoke up with them and partner with them and see them come to a place of fullness. So much to say and pray, Savior. Help us to become more fully than ever before this spiritual temple, this dwelling place for the Holy Spirit that you are building. Help us to appreciate that it won't be, can't be done in isolation, but with each stone fitted to the next stone, all of it connected and resting upon and tied to the chief cornerstone, you, our Savior and King. Savior, make us into your people. To that end, we give ourselves to you one more time, as we may have hundreds of times before. One more time we say, whatever you are doing in my life, whatever you want to do in me, whatever you want to do through me, come Holy Spirit, you have full invitation. I pray we'd not hurry from this place, but Lord, that we would linger with an appreciation for how you are knitting us together. Pray you'd help us know how to invest in one another in ways that produce eternal results. And I thank you for each person committed to seeing your kingdom come and your will done in this corner of Kansas as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Don't have to be in a hurry to go anywhere. Love one another in the grace and fullness of Christ before you go.